You're listening to
Greetings, one and all. Welcome to Sci-Fi Dig Show 336. I am your host, Aaron Makem, and I know it's been a month since I've done a show, but it's been a busy summer and thus far, and I got back from vacation a few days ago, and so I have I wanted to get a show out. So this week we're going to be talking some Fringe. I know it's been a while because the last show was about Star Trek. So the Fringe fans out there, hopefully you're jonesing for some more Fringe. The episode I'm going to discuss today is The Road Not Taken. But before I get into that, I wanted to talk about a couple of quick news items that I thought were kind of interesting and I wanted to share. Science fiction author Richard Matheson has passed away. He was the age 87. And he wrote a lot of things, but I think that what he's best known for, at least for me, is I Am Legend. And, you know, he had a long life at 87, but you have to admit that what other author do you know who had a book and had three successful movies, and all of them very different? In a lot of ways off of that one book. I mean, I Am Legend, you had, you had the Will Smith film that just came out, you know, several years ago, which I quite enjoyed. You had Omega Man in the 70s, and you had Last Man on Earth with none other than Vincent Price. All these movies I rather enjoy, and they all have different takes on the ending. But overall, the movies themselves, you know, the main part of the movie, we're very similar, you know, last person, you know, around and, you know, surviving this, I don't know, you want to call it apocalypse or you want to call it, you know, whether that's brought on by disease or what have you, but really enjoyable movies. I highly recommend all of them. Actually, Last Man on Earth, you can watch for free. It's in the public domain now. And I think if you go to archive.org, you can actually download a version of that. He also did The Enemy Within, Star Trek episode, which I think is a favorite of a lot of the Trekkers out there. Anyway, I wanted to mention that because I love that book, and I actually had the copy that I got a copy, and it was it wasn't beat up, but it was just so old that every time I turned a page, they fell out. So basically, when I got done, I had a folder of pages, and I had to be real careful that I didn't drop them, otherwise I'd never get them back in order again. Jim Carrey cannot support the Kick-Ass 2 violence. This is an interesting story. Carrey finished Kick-Ass 2 a month before Sandy Hook. And he says, now I cannot support that level of violence. And it's not to... I mean, he goes on to say that he apologized to those involved in the film, but he says he's not ashamed of it, but recent events have caused a change in his heart. Now, I'm not knocking this. I'm just saying that this is how... when something happens, I think that you should handle it. I think that, you know, he's saying that, you know, he did the movie and he's not ashamed of his work in the movie, but, because of what has happened, you know, that he can't, he doesn't want to support that type of level of violence in the film, which is kind of ironic because the film itself, think about the Kick-Ass movies, is they're very visceral. And the idea is, you know, who is left with, you know, what the ramifications of all that violence, you know, and in the book, you know, he doesn't carry a gun and supposedly he's not going to carry a firearm in the film as well. It's I'm not sure. They haven't been a picture of him here is with a gun, but I think it's a non-lethal weapon. But anyway, can't wait to see Kick-Ass 2.
This week in DVDs.
I want to give you 2 weeks here, June 25th and then the following week. June 25th, we have The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. We have The Call, which is actually a pretty decent movie. We also have Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan on Blu-ray. Now, I looked into this. Doesn't seem as though there's any kind of extra special features. Really enjoyed this version of Tarzan. I wish that they would do a new one, and this was fairly close to the books. I mean, obviously there's a couple of issues with it, but I rather enjoyed it. I thought they did a really good job with that one. I would like to see an updated one. Also, there's a whole slew of steelbooks. These have been, I noticed these were in Walmart a couple weeks ago, and now they're popping up everywhere. So I don't know if they had an exclusive on them for a while or not. And they were running around $12. And you have, let's see, you have the Chronicles of Riddick, Death Race, Doom, Hellboy 2, Hulk, The Incredible Hulk, and Serenity, Van Helsing, Pitch Black, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Scarface, Hot Fuzz. If you don't own any of these titles, now might be a good time to pick them up. You know, the steelbooks are rather nice, and it has a nice effect with the artwork on the front. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I know some of those aren't science fiction, but I figured that, you know, with the steelbooks, I mean, we don't get those very often here. So anyway, these ones are for July 2nd in the U.S. There's not a lot of science fiction here. Very little, actually. It's kind of a disappointment. But you're going to get Last Resort Season 1. Again, not science fiction. It's also the only season because this show was canceled, but I know some people were enjoying it, so I wanted to throw that out there. But other than that, there is not there is nothing that's science fiction here, looks like. And that's kind of a depressing state of events. Anyway, if you live in the UK, you do get all kinds of science fiction for July 1st. You're going to get Cloud Atlas, Oz the Great and Powerful, an X-Men trilogy, which is odd because you think that they would include all five films in there, but, you know, they're only including three. You're getting a re-release of The Wiz, and which I thought was kind of funny. Terminator Salvation is getting a re-release. Not sure why. Jaws, the Universal 100th Anniversary Collector's Series Blu-ray is going to be available. And E.T. is going to be available as well. I'm not quite understand the X-Men deals. You know, why they're not including all the films. But, you know, actually, I don't have any X-Men films. And it's £21 for the Blu-ray pack, which is kind of pricey considering that if you look around, you can find all five films packaged together in the U.K. The U.S. one is really super expensive. So I was looking at the U.K. one. Unfortunately, not all the films are region free or I would have bought them. Because even with, you know, I think we can all agree that, you know, Wolverine might not have been the greatest film, but it was still kind of entertaining. And that's about it for DVD releases. Now, we're going to talk a little Fringe, and then I'm going to tell you a couple stories after that. Everybody enjoys my stories, right? So let's do some Fringe. The episode is titled The Road Not Taken. It originally aired on May 5th, 2009. It's episode 19 of season 1, next to the last episode of the season. Now, the overall story here is that a woman gets on a bus in the beginning. She's not feeling well. She gets off the bus and she just bursts into flames and explodes. And so obviously the Fringe team, you know, likes to, you know, this is what they do. So they start investigating it. That is kind of the short version of the episode. The overall arc of the episode, there's some good stuff here. First of all, if you remember several episodes ago when Walter was playing around with the typewriter and we thought it was his typewriter, every time he typed a Y, it was higher up than everything else. So he's been kind of investigating that. We're not quite sure what it all means, but we're going to find out here. It's going to be my first clip. If you remember last episode, the doctor said that William Bell was behind all of the stuff in ZFT. And so we're going to investigate that a little bit. But the big thing here is that Olivia seems to be seeing a different reality at periods in time. During this episode, they go to investigate the corpse of the burnt-up woman, and she sees two corpses when, in fact, there's only one. There's a scene where she's in the office, and things kind of the phone changes color, and Charlie has a big scar down his face, and she's having a conversation. Now, we're into spoiler territory, and I can't really talk much about this unless I talk about some of the upcoming episodes. You know, what's happening here is that there are two realities, our world and the parallel world, that we've seen, we've had little snippets of from time to time. And so, for whatever reason, they're kind of blending together for Olivia. And that's a big part of the episode, because as we enter into episode 20, the final episode is going to play a huge part. But for right now, I'm going to play the first sound clip where Walter is showing Peter the typewriter and showing the fact that when he types the Y, it is it's different. And therefore, the ZTF or the ZF, is it? ZFT, I keep getting him confused. Their manifesto was, he believes that it was typed on his typewriter.
Walter, what is this? I don't know what I'm looking at.
This typewriter's Bailey's. I remember the day he purchased it. It was raining.
Do you understand what you're saying, Walter? The William Bell doesn't just fund ZFT. He wrote their manifesto and is actually responsible for everything that's been happening?
Absolutely not. William Bell was many things. He was ambitious. He was egotistical. He was temperamental. But he wasn't a madman. Although the ideas in his manifesto are radical, he wouldn't do this. These horrendous things. He would never do it. There are references all throughout to the chapter of ethics, but there is no such chapter. It is missing, and I believe that someone has removed it to suit their own evil purposes. And I can prove it.
How?
Get another copy of the book, one with all the pages.
Walter, there is no other copy. This is the only one.
Look at it.
He wrote it here, in this lab. It could still be here somewhere, the original.
And what if you're wrong?
I'm not wrong. And when I find it, you will see. It will absolve him, Peter.
Peter, it's Olivia.
So this is where I got so far. Bus driver called 911, reported an agitated woman got off his bus. Moments later, she caught fire and exploded. Police combed the area. They couldn't find any evidence of an accelerant or an incendiary device.
There's something strange in your neighborhood.
Who you got to call?
So what do you make of this, Walter?
Well, from what Agent Francis described, it's possible we're dealing with a case of spontaneous human combustion.
Thought that was just a myth.
Myth is just an unverified fact.
Maybe she was hit by a tiny meteor.
It's also possible. Until I get this body back to the lab, I won't be able to see anything with absolute certainty.
All right, I'll get the coroner to prep the bodies for transport.
Bodies? Is there another somewhere?
Now that rumbling sound that you heard is kind of the world, kind of Olivia coming back to our universe. Like everything kind of shifts, shimmies back and forth, and it's like a shimmering effect, and then she's back in her proper world. And it's kind of hard to explain it audio wise. The next clip, we get some Nina Sharp, and I've missed Nina, so I'm glad that she's in this episode. And her and Broyles are having a conversation. It's kind of interesting because ever since they think that William Bell is kind of behind things, obviously they have to investigate his corporation.
Nina?
I won't play coy, fellow. I understand the FBI has opened an investigation into Massive Dynamic. Now, as you can imagine, we spend a lot of money on counterintelligence, and any probe into our finances raises red flags. So, what are you fishing for? Industrial espionage? Treaty violations?
We have evidence that indicates William Bell may be involved with several biological attacks perpetrated this past year.
But that's ridiculous.
Perhaps. But as long as you're here, if you have something to offer, now would be the time.
I'm not one of your street thugs that you can bully, Philip. And William Bell is not a terrorist.
I'd like to hear him tell me that himself.
I'm afraid that's not possible. He's traveling. You're wasting your time. William Bell is not the enemy.
Is there something else?
So, Olivia and Philip are having a conversation about this investigation and who should pop in but our old dear friend Samford Harris. This is a good episode for him, and you'll see why as time goes on here. But he's not very happy that they're investigating William Bell and Massive Dynamics.
What the hell is going on here?
Samford,
why is the entire 13th floor trying to link William Bell to biological terror attacks?
We have evidence that Bell might be implicated.
Yeah, I know what you have. You have testimony from a dead man who himself was an admitted terrorist.
Well, his testimony confirms what we've long suspected. Massive Dynamic may be involved or behind the events we've been witnessing.
William Bell and Massive Dynamic are the Defense Department's largest contractors. These waters are much too deep for a fishing expedition.
Are you seriously suggesting that we just ignore
it? I am telling you to drop this, considering you have nothing more than an unsubstantiated report from a hostile source. Clear?
Are we really going to...
No. Get more evidence.
That guy is just such a dick. Anyhow, every time he's on the screen, I get a little worked up. You know, I tried to be one with him and understand that he's trying to do the right thing sometimes, but sometimes he's just such a jerk. Anyway, keep in mind that the team is trying to investigate why this woman was, you know, on fire, because that's not normal. I might mention, too, that the scene where she just does burst into flame is really well done. I really enjoyed it because it was like she had like she was like sweat was coming off her face, and it seemed as though like that caught on fire or something. It was really a nice effect considering this is television. Really well done. Anyway, so Walter is going to try to explain how this could be possible, how this could possibly happen, and he's going to do it using a box of cereal, which makes a big mess.
I'm back. Did you get it? No, I told you they don't have it.
It has to be Frankenberry. That's what I ate back then. If I'm to remember where I hid the manuscript, it's simple sense memory, Peter.
But they don't have it. For all we know, they don't even make it anymore. I did, however, get you this. All the artificial sugary sweetness a growing scientist needs.
Hello, Agent Dunham. Let me guess. You're a cornflakes gal. Am I correct?
Yeah. Why not? So, we went to the victim's apartment, and there appears to be evidence of other fires.
So the bus stop wasn't her first incident?
No. Walter, does that mean something to you?
Well, it changes everything. We can rule out spontaneous human combustion, for one. I mean, that's strictly a one-off event, as you can imagine.
So what does it rule in?
Pyrokinesis.
Stop. There's no time for jokes, Walter.
Pyrokinesis?
It's not even a real word. It was made up by Stephen King. You ever see Firestarter, Drew Barrymore? A little girl can start fires with her mind?
Mr. King coined the term, but the phenomenon existed long before that. It's not that complicated, really. It's merely a form of telekinesis, the ability to move objects with the mind.
Merely.
However, with pyrokinetics, they can excite objects at a molecular level. Well, look, think... Think of each of these grains of cereal as a molecule. So, as the molecules start to vibrate more quickly, they generate heat, energy, until that energy must be released.
Fascinating demonstration, Walter, but it still doesn't explain why it is that Susan Pratt blew up.
I suspect this was a newfound ability. It takes training to generate a heat source outside of the body. Without proper control, the energy is turned inward. You see, she had no other option.
So you think that she had a choice? To either blow somebody else up or blow herself up?
Yes, but this poor woman had yet to master her ability. Which made her a powder keg. Emotional stress, agitation, high anxiety would set her off.
So where does this ability come from? Is it that she was just born different, or is it something that someone did to her?
That is the real question now, isn't it?
I'm not cleaning that up, by the way.
Olivia keeps having these issues where she's shifting between universes. Of course, we know that, but she doesn't understand it. So she goes to Walter and explains what's happening, and he examines her once again. She got, at this point, she got to be kind of tired of being examined by Walter and having him ask her crazy questions about drug use and all that. But during the course of this conversation, he explains the title of the episode, The Road Not Taken, and explains parallel universes and how these things offshoot and how it all works.
You sure you haven't had any LSD? Mescaline, magic mushrooms?
It wasn't a drug trip, Walter.
Visual hallucinations can be caused by a number of things. Could you look straight ahead, please? Sleep deprivation, a concussion, brain tumor.
I feel like I'm losing my mind.
Oh, I don't think so. If you were actually going insane, you'd likely have no idea it was happening. Take it from me. When did these episodes start? How did they feel?
First was Susan Pratt's body, then it was in Burroughs' office, the other on the street. The same people, the same places, but bleak. The city was on fire.
Fascinating. There's another possibility. It's a bit complicated. Deja vu.
It wasn't deja vu, Walter, not even close.
Not typical. Protracted deja vu, prolonged. What, you're familiar with the pliability of space-time, yes?
Of course, who isn't?
Well, let me explain. Most of us experience life as a linear progression. Yes, like this. But this is an illusion because every day life presents us with an array of choices. As a result, life should look more like this. And each choice leads to a new path. To go to work, to stay home, and in each choice we take creates a new reality. Do you understand?
Yes, but what does it have to do with déjà vu?
Déjà vu is simply a momentary glimpse to the other side. Almost everyone experiences it. We feel that we've been somewhere before because actually we have in another reality. It's another path. The road not taken.
Walter, why me? Why am I seeing these visions?
I don't know.
Walter, what about William Bell's drug trials? Quetexafan. You said that it worked on perception.
Yes.
If it's true, and I was part of the trials when I was a kid, is it possible that it's causing these visions?
I don't know. But what I do know is that you are a committed investigator. You're a perceptive agent. If you are having these visions, whatever they are, there must be a reason. Trust me.
Really, Walter? From a man who routinely sees little green men prancing through the lab when Tam O'Shanton's on?
Hey, I think I found something. It's another victim who died the same way Susan Pratt did. I checked it out, and the guy who runs the website lives in Malden.
Now, this is a fun scene. They go to the guy's site who runs the website who runs the website that had this photo of a burn-up victim on there that they think matches what happened to their victim. And it's just a fun scene. I'm just going to play it. They go there and Peter and Olivia and ask him some questions.
Mr. Grayson, you operate a website called Galaxy Truth where you claim to uncover conspiracies perpetrated by foreign governments.
I don't claim. I accomplish. Unlike you two. You're just pawns being used by the government to spread their propaganda.
Look, I can appreciate your opinion, Mr. Grayson.
I just wanted to ask you a few... You're right, okay? She's a Fed, but I'm not. I'm just like you. I am a citizen in search of the truth. Give me the phone. We downloaded this off of your website. It claims that this person was a victim of spontaneous human combustion. Now, you gotta tell us, where did this one happen?
Budapest. 3 weeks ago. The victim was an American graduate student on holiday. The Hungarian police say he was attacked and set on fire. That's not the truth.
Why do you say that?
Are you familiar with William Bell?
Of course.
William Bell killed these people.
What do you mean?
William Bell's company, Massive Dynamic, is a cover for all manner of unethical behavior. Multinational, outside the purview of government control. He founded it to continue his experiments with impunity. Among them, secret drug trials. This was one of his test subjects.
Then why would William Bell have him killed?
Well, he didn't. At least not intentionally. You see, Bell is trying to activate his subjects to see which ones were successful. Some can handle the process. Others can't.
What process?
To create super soldiers.
Super soldiers?
Yes. Like Khan Noonien Singh, to defend us in the coming war.
What war?
I'm sorry. The Khan?
Yes.
As in the wrath of?
Yes.
And let me guess. This war, it's against...
The Romulans. Renegade Romulans. From the future. Here to change the timeline. The sworn enemy of the Federation.
The Federation? That would be the United Federation of Planets.
Yes.
And you all know this because...
I am the son of Sarek.
Which makes you Spock.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Spock, thank you for your time. We'll let you get back to the bridge now.
Live long and prosper.
Come on, Trek references. It's fantastic. That was a fun scene. That's going to be followed up with a rather intense scene. This is also my top 10 favorite scenes of season one because you don't see Olivia lose her cool very often. And I wouldn't say that she lost her cool, but great, great acting by Anna Torv. Because I just love this scene because you can tell she's holding it all in. You can tell she wants to just say, you know what, you know, to Sanford, you know, you're just being an absolute ass here. And I'm just sick of it. But she's just trying to hold it all in at the same point in time, staying her ground. I love this scene. So just to set up a little bit, her and Peter are having a conversation. Sanford comes in and gives her a paper and then walks out and she falls after him and we find out what's on the paper. I just love it. Fantastic scene. I highly recommend watching this over and over again. Just fantastic acting from her. I just absolutely loved it.
What?
What your father said about me having these visions for a reason. Maybe there's a clue in them that I meant to find.
Meaning what?
We have one victim, Susan Pratt, but in my visions, there are always two bodies.
Who are they?
I don't know. Unidentified. But maybe if I could get back to that parallel universe as Walter describes, I can ID that second charred body. I mean, maybe what's happening there could help us understand what's happening here.
Happening where?
Nowhere.
If you need assignment.
Always a pleasure seeing you, sir.
Can you stop? You want me to submit for a psych exam?
That's right. I'm concerned for you.
Why?
I've read your briefs, and I'd say your analysis borders on the paranoid. Besides which, your behavior has been noted as erratic and driven by emotion, and not just by me.
Oh, that is not what this is about. My colleagues need to trust me. They need to depend on me, not wonder in the back of their minds whether or not I'm losing mine.
Look, this job is intense.
This not has got nothing to do with my ability to do my job. This is about
exactly
something else.
What
this
I'm
is
talking
about you
about
and
because
me.
And right now, you are acting emotionally.
Yes, you're right, I am. No, I've tried to move past our history. I've tried to reason with you in the interest of a working relationship, but you seem to get off on this. So fine. I don't give a damn anymore. But I'm not going to let you undermine my ability to do my job.
Well, you color this any way you like, Dunham, but I am still your superior officer, and that evaluation is a direct order.
In the meantime, another victim is taken. And Peter is able to, since there was heat involved, it melted the glass, and so his idea is to take a section of the glass and that sound would be sealed inside of it, and using some equipment able to extract the sound and see if they could find some information about exactly what's going on, why are these people being taken, why they have these abilities, etc., anything to help them solve this case. So the next clip is him explaining that and putting everything together.
I've seen this woman before. Why does she look so familiar?
Maybe because you dissected her twin sister yesterday. Remember? Blonde girl, about 5'7", really well done, melted fillings.
Oh, right.
Astrid, can you plug that into the DVI input?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the deal. Walter, project that I've been working on was for you.
For me?
It reconstructs audio. I wanted you to be able to digitize some of those old water damage vinyl records you have. I know how much they mean to you.
Thank you, son. You know, when he was five, he built me a popsicle napkin holder. Dreadful design, utterly useless.
Thank you.
But this is...
You're welcome. Anyway, the basic principles at work here are very simple. You all know how a record player works, right?
Yeah, needle goes over the grooves of the vinyl, and the vibrations it picks up are amplified into sound.
Exactly. So the principle is the same, except for instead of a needle, I use the electron microscope to take a high-resolution digital image of the grooves on the surface of the record. That image is then transferred into the computer, which translates it back into audio that we can hear.
You sound just like him.
I'm guessing that with the software modifications I gave you, we're going to be able to do the same thing with this.
So you're saying that you can play back the glass somehow?
Yeah. Walter says that these pyrotechnic abilities only occur during times of emotional stress. I think that when our twin was kidnapped, the heat that she generated caused that window to liquefy slightly, which means that any sound that was in this room at that time would have left microscopic impressions in the molten glass.
Like the grooves on a record.
Exactly right. Now, if you'll please scan the glass.
Okay, you're ready to go.
All right.
Now, they are able to get some information from the glass, and during one of Olivia's, like I said, she flashed to the other dimension, the other parallel world, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to call it, and she talked to Charlie, and he gave her the file on the case that they were currently working on. She realizes this girl has a sister, and this was the sister, that's who was kidnapped, and they think that there might be a connection, that maybe she has the same abilities. Now, he gets the audio out of there, and there is a, you can hear somebody dialing a phone number. So Olivia has him play it back, and apparently she has an app on her phone that can dial according to the tones. This is kind of a shocker. Who answers the other when the phone rings? Who answers it?
See you there.
Poor dear.
Peter, can you play it back from when he starts to talk?
Yeah, 1 second.
We're back.
Okay, just there. Where he's styling. Okay, can you make that clear?
Sure. Let me just isolate the sound. You're thinking what I'm thinking.
My cell phone app can dial the number from the tones.
This is Harris.
So, can I say boom? Because that is a big boom. Anyhow, so she knows that Mr. Harris is not a nice fellow. And so she calls Charlie and they follow him to this building. She's able to go in. And there is some shooting involved, and she's able to find the girl. She's in a room, and she quickly calls, or either calls or radios Charlie and tells him where they're at. But in the meantime, this girl is hooked up to a gurney in this room, and she's trying to get her out. She gets her all unbuckled, and somebody shuts the door. And here in the window, it's Harris, and he's just looking at them.
Don't worry, you're
going to
be
okay. Harris, open the door!
Oh, damn it, Harris, open the door!
Open the door!
I can't breathe!
Well, look at that. Good work, Agent Dunham. You managed to activate her before we could.
Damn it, Harris, open the door. She needs help.
Not if she can control it. And if not, she'll explode and kill the both of you. So one problem solves another.
Burning up. Calm down. Okay.
Yeah, it's me. I need to speak to him.
Just hold on. I'm going to get you out of here.
It worked. She's hot.
We have an active.
But she's a loss. She's highly unstable.
Why is this happening to me?
They did something to you. Maybe to both of us, but a long time ago when we were just kids. And right now you're feeling the effects from that. But you can control this, okay? You can control this, and I'm going to help you. I just need you to focus the heat away from us.
I can't.
Yes, you can. Just focus. Focus on anything. Just focus, Nancy. You can do this, Nancy.
I can't.
You can.
Yeah, I'll take care of it. There won't even be a trace. I just don't.
It's okay. Everything's going to be okay. Oh, yeah. You're going to be okay.
So that wonderful sound you hear, that explosion, would be Harris being exploded because she was able to look through the glass and focus it on him, and she burned him up. So not – I would like him to go in a worse way if it was possible, but he's gone, and good riddance. But as much as I say that, he was just such a good – foil for the good guys. I really enjoyed his character. As much as I love to hate him, I just really enjoyed his character and what he added to the show. So in that way, I'll miss him. But as is being in the show with the characters, I'm glad he's gone because he just was not a very nice guy. Now, the next clip I have is Peter and Walter are having dinner at a diner. And Peter goes to the restroom and Olivia comes in. And this all takes place before Peter comes back. And she sits down and has this conversation with Walter. And you have to remember that Walter's – part of his problem is that he's really upset because he cannot remember these things that he did. And he's trying very hard to remember. You know, earlier in this episode when he's trying to find the rest of the manuscript, he, you know, he's trying to duplicate his lifestyle, the same serial and things like that, in order to try to spark his memory to see if he can figure out where it's at.
Agent Dunn.
Where's Peter?
Peter's in the bathroom.
What the hell did you people do to us? You and William Bell, Walter. What did you do to me? Susan Pratt and Nancy Lewis are from Jacksonville, Florida. Just like Nick Lane, the guy that you conducted drug trials on when he was a kid. The drug trials that you conducted on me.
They were Billy's. They were his trials.
But you knew. Walter, you were there. And you knew.
We were trying to help. We meant no harm.
No harm? You were drugging children. 3-year-old children, Walter. Why did you do it?
We were trying to prepare you. To make you capable. Able. Something terrible is coming.
What?
I don't know.
Walter, what did you do to us? Damn it, Walter, you do.
No, I don't. I don't. I can't remember.
Another great scene there. There's just, this episode just has some fantastic scenes in it, and, you know, obviously... Walter and Olivia have not really like clashed over what was done to her. You know, clearly it was Walter's fault because he, you know, he helped to do it, but he does not remember why, you know, exactly what the reasoning was. And he doesn't, there's just so much he doesn't remember. And of course she's upset because something's been done to her and she knows the man responsible. And so they have, you know, we haven't had a big clash because she's trying, you know, she's become kind of attached to Walter. But at the same point in time, she's rather angry with him. And I think that that's a great mix. Now, the next scene is Nina Sharp showing up at Broyles' house. And you're like, what's on with this? You know, because we haven't seen, you know, we've seen them, those two interact. but we haven't, you know, just showing up at his house like this, it's kind of weird. But and what she has in her hand is a bunch of photographs of the Observer everywhere.
Nina, what is he?
These were all taken in the last 24 hours. You know what happened the last time he appeared with this kind of frequency. We need to talk.
We don't know what happened last time he appeared this frequently. So that'll be another mystery added to the pile. But everything is coming to a head here as we enter in, as we're going to enter into the final episode. Now, the next clip I have is of Walter looking through the lab. He's still looking for the manuscript, and he manages to find it. And somebody comes in, and he thinks it's Astrid, but in fact, it's not Astrid. It is the Observer.
Astrid, I found it. The original manuscript with the extra pages. It's right. Listen to this. Our children are our greatest resource. We must nurture them and protect them. We must prepare them so they can one day protect us. You see, I was... Hello, Walter. Hello. It's time to go. Is it time? Get my coat.
And with that, Walter walks out of the lab. And we're not sure what's going on. Obviously, there's a lot of things we don't understand that are happening at this point, but it definitely gets you keyed up for the final episode. Just so many things coming together. Now, keep in mind, with that being said, those of you that are watching Fringe for the first time, that not all these questions will be answered in the next episode. Some of this stuff's going to carry over into season two, and you need to be aware of that. Now, the Observer, obviously, not going to do a screenshot this week because he's quite clear. He comes in the lab at the end, and they have a conversation, so you know where he's at. But the glyphs, they spell out the word vision, and it seems sometimes the glyphs, I think, do a good job of hinting at things. Sometimes I think that they're just trying to find fill-in words. When they had the names of all the characters in the series, I wasn't sure that that was really hinting at anything, but overall, a great episode. I mean, obviously, you walk away with more questions than you have answers. But it's one of those episodes where at the end you realize there's a whole lot more going on that we haven't touched on. You know, we have all these little snippets in the episodes about the overall larger picture. But as you don't actually have a big concentration of that. And you had a lot of that in this episode. But this episode is worth it for, even if you've seen the series before, even if you've seen it several times. Man, interactions that we have, the one with Olivia and Harris is fantastic. I love that. It's just great stuff. And also Olivia and Walter, because that has to go somewhere. You know, she's obviously upset with him. And I think from my personal perspective, as the series goes on, you know, I think that she realizes that Walter was a different person because he lost his memories. And because of the things he's gone through, that was a different person than what we see now. And because of that, I think she could be more forgiving of what he has done, because it's not the same man anymore. Anyway, the name of the episode was The Road Not Taken, which I think is very a very good name for this episode, considering we're dealing with parallel dimensions, and very well named. It originally aired on May 5th, and it was episode 19. We have episode 20 coming up, which will be the season finale of season one. And I can't believe I made it this far. Wow, just a lot of I'm still just as doing this is just like doing Babylon 5. I'm still really excited to be looking at the episodes and watching them. And the other thing that excites me is that when I sat down to do a rewatch, I watched up through the middle, better part of the middle, probably 18 episodes, 16 episodes into season two. And then I stopped because I was starting to have trouble remembering what I wanted to take notes on. So I'm kind of excited because, you know, once I get a few episodes of season two under my belt, then I can start watching again. And I'm pretty excited to be doing that. But anyway, that's it. The Road Not Taken. Now, as some of you know, I've talked to a couple people. I went on vacation. We went to Disney World again. Really like it there. Did Star Tours like 6 or 7 times. They did a really nice job updating that ride. And I intend to go back again when Star Wars Land opens up. So hopefully that'll be within 3 years. And Disney announced that. And hopefully they'll have everything set up there. Was really disappointed in the lack of Marvel merchandise. You would think with Avengers being as big as it was, there'd be more Marvel merchandise, but I think I saw a total of 1 hat for sale, and it was a really ugly hat, and like 2 Iron Man t-shirts. And I was kind of disappointed because I actually I needed a new hat, and I thought, well, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a gift shop, and surely they have like an Avengers hat or a hat with a Captain America shield on it, but they had none of that, so that didn't pan out for me. But anyway, had a really good time. Highly recommend, you know, Star Tours. It's just a really fun ride, and they have enough of them now that the wait is, I don't think I ever waited more than about 8 minutes to ride it, so that was a lot of fun. And I had, you know, one of the things I did when I was down there is Superman opened during the week that I was there. And I haven't been to a weekend showing of a film. I think I could probably count on one hand in the last 20 years because I work weekends. So I went by myself to the great big giant theater down there. And I tried to go on Friday, and there was a problem with the bus. And so by the time I got there, it had already started, and I said, to heck with it. So I ended up going on Sunday. And, you know, I don't miss living in a big metropolitan area at all because, well, it's kind of ridiculous for the amount of money you pay for a theater ticket. You can't get an usher to try to control people who cannot, who have to keep 100 seats in between themselves when the theater is packed. I was lucky. I missed the first showing by like 2 minutes. And so the next one was a half an hour. So I bought my ticket, which was great because I bought the ticket at one spot, and the theater was down the road away. So I went down there, and there was a long, long, long line for tickets. So I already had my ticket, so I got in, and I got a soda, and I went into the theater. And by the time I got there, there was like maybe 5 minutes left. And the theater was absolutely packed. Now, I'm not one of those people that get all uptight and bound of shape about people like texting or whatever. I don't care. If you want to text during the movie, it doesn't bother me. Turn your screen down so it doesn't distract, and turn the sound off. Because I know a lot of parents go out and their kids are home, and you know, people are checking in or whatever. And it's just the way things are right now. You know, it doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when you are holding seats and there's nobody going to sit there. So I went into the theater and could not find a seat, and it was packed. I could not believe they did not have ushers in there trying to control the crowd. And so I found a gentleman that was there on the end, and he had 5 seats on the inside. And I was like, hey, is anybody sitting here? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, okie dokie. I'm like, I'm going to go down there and see if I can find a seat. If not, I'm going to come back up here and sit. And the guy wasn't real happy with that, but there was nobody sitting there, so I wasn't going to deal with him. But ended up sitting a little too close to the screen. Want to go see Man of Steel again. I want to take my daughter to go see it because we saw Superman Returns and it was okay, but this is a much better film. So I would like to go and see it again. I really liked it. I mean, I like Star Trek and Iron Man more, but I, you know, I hate to be, most people say it's not my Superman, but it's not the one that we're used to. You know, there's obviously some variations in the film, and but the film all made sense. I have to say, though, the fight scene, as good as it was, kind of went on a little too long. I was like, wow, this is getting kind of, I was starting to get kind of bored with the fighting. I'm like, we needed to wind up the fighting. I love the flashback scenes, however. I love seeing the young Clark interact with his father and the lessons that he was learning. And I love the fact that the story that they wrote about the father and why he did some of the things he did. I don't want to give spoilers, but he did some of the things he did could be debatable, but when you look at his motivation, it all kind of makes sense. And really enjoyed the film. So I recommend going to see that Man of Steel. It was a very good film. Can't wait for Trek to come out in Blu-ray, though, because I'm going to watch that a couple of times. Really enjoyed that. I mean, the summer movies that I've seen thus far, I've enjoyed pretty much all of them. And I cannot wait for... there's a couple more coming up that... Pacific Rim is one of them that I really would, I'm real excited about because it looks like something completely different. And I hope that it does not disappoint. Now I have to tell this one story and then I'm going to wind up the show here. But my last day at Magic Kingdom, we did Space Mountain at the very end. We had fast passes and there was a bunch of us. And you know, Space Mountain has a moving walkway, and the walkway goes up and down. You know, it goes, that kind of goes uphill a little bit and then levels out and goes downhill a little bit. Well, of course, everybody, you know, everybody walks in the walkway because you want to get off. Well, we couldn't walk because the man in front of us was pushing a wheelchair and you can't really push it on there. So you had to lock it because, you know, you don't want to lose control of that. That'd be bad. And there were people behind us, and about 2 minutes into the moving sidewalk, they all started to chant, walk, 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 walk. And my nephew was with me and he turned around. And he said, "Can you see the wheelchair?" And so you get to see about 70 people hang their head in shame for sitting there and chanting that. So I just thought it was kind of a funny little story there that they, and then of course there were still people right behind us that could see the wheelchair the whole time that were chanting. Then they started complaining about how they didn't have time to shop. And I just about, you know, lost it, but I didn't. I just smiled and said, some people, well, I said a lot of choice words I'm not going to say on here because I was very disappointed in humankind. Anyhow, I'm going to try to get back into a regular thing here, but summer is kind of, everybody that listens to this show knows that summer is always up in here. It's much more, everything's much more organized when school's in session, but we got a lot of stuff going on, and I'm trying to make as much of my summertime with my kid as I can, so I apologize in advance for not having a regular show, but I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here. I'll be around. I just, we've been doing... we're lucky enough that we have a state park about 45 minutes from us, and been able to do some canoeing and kayaking there, and they have a beach and everything. So I really enjoy that. And considering that all you're basically you can rent a canoe and they're real cheap, but you don't have to a lot of money sunk into expenses other than gas, you know, and they have plenty of hiking. So I'm pretty excited about that. Anyhow, I'm going to wind it up. Sorry the show is so short, but I've been sitting on these Fringe episodes for, a couple months now since I did the breakdowns, and I just did not want them chilling here and hanging out. And one other thing, I'm not sure if this is available for the Android, but I've been playing with a new app on my phone, and everybody knows that I love taking pictures. It's called Days, and it's quite fun. You actually use the phone from 5 a.m. to 5 a.m. and you record your day, and you can't cheat. You can't import photos. You have to use the app to take the photos, but then you can add captions and everything. And then at the end you can upload it to, their server, and you know, you can keep it private. You can post it on Facebook or Twitter, any social networks, or a few of them anyway. And you can add captions and everything. And it's pretty slick. You can go through and it's kind of like a visual diary, and it's kind of neat if you're doing something. And, you know, we used to do like, when we did like family outings, we used to use, I can't remember the name of the online app. It didn't work very good in the phone, but you can put photos in there and then it just kind of scrolled through them. But it's not really a slideshow because you can put captions to everything and then you can comment in the photos themselves, but it's really slick. I highly recommend it. It's free. And, I've been playing around with it just to see what I can do with it. And I just wanted to mention it because I think for those of you that get together for like family events or whatever, just, you know, just playing around during your day, it actually works fairly well. So anyway, that's it. This is Aaron for the Sci-Fi Dig podcast. Over and out.